time of prayer. Join me as you're being seated. Join me in prayer. I know your lives are busy. Mine's busy. Man, and I know that you don't mean to push God to the margins of your life, but sometimes it happens just because we're busy. Life happens. We all know that. So I wonder if right now, if you would just still yourself for a minute, just sort of quiet your mind and your heart. I wonder if you'd just take a moment and connect with your Heavenly Father that loves you so much. I wonder if you just take a moment and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling me to be one of your children. Thank you for forgiving me and redeeming me. And now I wonder if you could think about someone else, someone maybe not here today that is so desperately in need of God's touch. I wonder if you would just pray for them right now. Now I wonder if you would just take a moment and thank the Lord for your mother. Maybe your mother's already gone to heaven like mine has. But you still hear her at times whispering in your ear, don't you? When you get ready to make a bad call, bad choice, don't you hear your mama's speaking to your spirit sometimes saying, ah, don't do that. Go a different direction. Why don't you thank the Lord for that? My mother's been in heaven now 4 years. I miss her every day. But when times get dark and when times get bad, I can hear her encouraging words speak to me. Scripture tells us that the wisdom of our parents speak to us from generation to generation. So if your mother's with you today, be thankful. Give her a call. Talk to her. Don't text her. Call her. Let her hear your voice. She wants to hear it. Talk to her. You're sitting there saying, but my mama can't hear. Talk loud. Some of you are here and you're not moms. But let me say a word to you. God created you just like you are. He values you just like you are. He cares for you just like you are. And you have worth and value and infinite usefulness in the kingdom of God. You are not a second-class citizen today. You are not. You are valued by your Heavenly Father. And we're thankful for you. And now, as we turn to look at God's Word, I wonder if you'd just be willing to open your heart and mind to whatever the Lord would say to you. I mean, folks, let's not let this be a few minutes in God's Word and then we go home. Ask the Lord to intercede in your life. Have an encounter with Him. Say, Lord, I need to encounter you today. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that can happen. Well, Father, I want to thank you today for everyone who's here. Lord, thank you for drawing them here from wherever they come from. Lord, we're just glad they're here. Holy Spirit, now we pray you speak to each heart and each mind in a way that you want to do. And I pray they'll be open and receptive in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Happy Mother's Day. All right. Where are our Grace kids? Where are you? All right. We got, oh yeah, the Vances have them today. They're in good hands. Tell them we love them. Tell them we love them. That's awesome. There you go. Awesome. That is great. Wow, good crowd today. It's wonderful. Sign of a healthy church. Amen? Amen. Hey, you celebrate what you replicate, right? You replicate what you celebrate, man. And we celebrate kids, to be sure. Got a couple of ideas on you for parenting today. Mothers, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going through a series called The Struggle is Real. We started it last week. Remember, we talked a little bit about phrases that culture will capture and downgrade or change. One of the words that we talked about last week was awesome. Awesome in its basic definition is a phenomenal word. It is great to ascribe to God. It means to be awe-inspired, to be speechless, to be captivated. But we've now used awesome to describe God in two-for-one blizzards at Dairy Queen. Right? So you can't. It's hard to use the same word talking about blizzards and talking about God. Are you with me? So they've downgraded the word awesome a little bit. Culture has, but that's okay. But this is one phrase I think they've gotten right. The struggle is real. How many people have heard that phrase? How many people have used it? And it is real. And we're so, mothers, no disrespect, but we're going to broaden our conversation today to talk about parenting in a general sense, not just motherhood specifically. Because I will tell you, parenting takes everybody who wants to get on board. Can I get an amen? Amen. The hardest job in America today is a single parent. Amen. I don't know how you do it. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how you do it. You seriously are my spiritual heroes. When I see a single parent out there struggling, doing it right, they are my hero. Because me and Renee have been a pretty good team now for almost 25 years. And it has taken everything we have to raise three kids. Are you with me? And everything we have to keep from selling them. And y'all wouldn't buy them. That's the reason why we haven't sold them. It gets that way sometimes. Man, I'll tell you, it's rough. Single parents, you are superstars. So know that you are loved by God. Do not feel shame. Do not feel guilt. Do not feel all of that negative stuff that the church historically has wanted to dump on you, because it's not real. God loves you. God cares about you. You have done a great job. And man, we stand behind you and with you at every turn, because that is a hard job. I promise you it is. But here's what some people say about parenting today. Parenting is 80% making empty threats and 20% picking up many toys on the floor. Parenting is basically just listening to yourself talk because no one else is listening. Now, here's one on modern parenting. 90% of modern parenting is keeping your kids away from your smartphone. Those of you who have little kids or grandkids, is that true or what? I'm telling you, I watch little kids today. It's probably not a big task, but they're better on those smartphones than I am. Any of y'all with that? I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Here's one more for you, and I bet we all can relate to this. 80% of parenting is yelling through a closed bathroom door. Stop beating your brother! Stop it! It happens that way. Parenting is tough. The struggle is real. And the reason why the struggle is real is because of the way our kids are influenced today. It's not that kids are any more or less sinful than they were 100 years ago. It's not that parents are any more or less loving than they were 100 years ago. But it is true that the factors influencing our children are profoundly different. Now, the socialization process of our kids, if you go back years ago, there were basically four ways they were socialized. First of all, it was by parents. Now, as a parent was respected throughout culture. When you watched a TV show, how many of you remember watching TV shows where the parents were always cast in a good light? They were in control. They were the boss. They always had wisdom. They always did the right thing. Culture cast parents in that light. I mean, you watch TV today, and you're thinking every parent ought to be locked up and the key thrown away. I mean, isn't that what you see? But you see, years ago, and let me go ahead and speak for me, okay? I'm 54. So everybody over the age of about 40, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to out anybody, all right? But if you're over the age of about 40, you probably get this. You remember when you went to the movies, when you watched TV, when you listened to the radio, whatever, parenting was reinforced as a positive, good, and decent thing. You were backed. You were backed by the crowd. I mean, just the crowd in the general community backed you. Institutions backed you. When the police would stop you. I can remember a story. I'll go ahead and out myself on this one. Back when I was in high school, I wasn't a good kid. Y'all can leave now if that offends you, but I was not a good kid. So we were having a party one night at a friend's house. This is just an example of how the institutions backed parenting and how parenting mattered. We were having a party at a friend's house, and the party spilled out into the yard. And it didn't stop into the yard. It sort of spilled out into the street. Boy, y'all are judging me bad right now. I'm looking out there going, oh, that preacher. How many of you have been to a party that spilled out into the road before? All right, so I'm not talking to people alone. Okay, so we're at this party. It spills out into the road, and the cops drive up. Now, I lived in a small town. It was about four or five times the size of Hastings. Truly, it was about that big. It was called Carlton, Michigan. It's a farming community, soybean, corn, that kind of stuff. It's a small farming community. So the cops drive up, and we're out in the middle of the road doing our thing, right? And the window rolls down, and lo and behold, the cop was also one of the football coaches at the high school. And he named all four of us in the road. Terry Wright, Dave Duffy, Greg Baker. We went down the list. Come here. And so we go over there. Yeah, coach, what are you doing? I'm just sitting out in the road. Yeah, right. You're sitting out in the road. There's about 50 people in the yard. The windows are open. The music's blaring. And I see all this paraphernalia laying on the yard, right? Said, who's having the party? So we quickly outed our friend. Oh, it's Gary's party, man. It's not ours. Gary's the one throwing the party. Yeah, now I'm getting a little bit personal because y'all have definitely outed your friends before, right? So we outed Gary in half a second. Oh, it's Gary's fault, coach. Get Gary. He said, let me tell you what's going to happen. He said, all four of you are going to go back into that house. You're going to lock the door, and I'm going to come by here ever so often. And if I see that door cracked, I'm calling your parents. How many of you know when that mattered? Y'all remember when that mattered? I am calling your parents. We did not even breathe outside of that house for the rest of the night. I had rather get in trouble by the cops than have my mom and dad called. Because parenting was valued back then. Parents were lifted up by the institution. And parents could connect to their kids in a way that is almost against the law today. Listen, you do know. It's been about 15 years ago, there was a case in California where a young boy went to court and divorced his parents. My mother would have beat me so bad. Oh, you can't divorce me. Yeah, I got divorcing your parents for you. Right? I mean, it would have never happened. But they were going to divorce. Divorce? Are you kidding me? No way. Parenting was valued, but throughout time, culture has stripped that away, and the struggle is real. Amen. Next, church had an influence on kids. You could go to church, and you would hear Exodus 20 taught. You know what Exodus 20 says? Exodus 20, beautiful verse. The first commandment with a promise. Exodus 20 says, honor your father and mother, so that your days in this land might be long upon the earth. And you would go to church, and church was valued, and people taught the Bible, and church was important. It wasn't just an afterthought or a byproduct. And you would come in on a day like this or any other day, or in youth group or dealing in children's ministry. They would talk about Exodus 20, and they would say, honor your mom and dad, and you get to have a long and fruitful life. But it's possible now in our culture to be spiritual and not Christian. To believe in God, but to go nowhere. George Barna says in his book, Evolution, by the year 2025, catch this, by the year 2025, evangelical believers, these are people who claim to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who claim to give a certain amount of their money to Christian causes, who claim to believe the Bible. Now catch this. Then in the year 2025, a third will be what they call worship gypsies. I've mentioned this before. They will follow a certain brand name preacher or brand name band, and wherever they are, that's where they're going to go, and that's going to be their church. Then a third of the people are going to be home church. They're going to isolate and insulate and not go around anyone else. They're just going to be by themselves. Boy, you can't make a big splash like that. And then only a third of the people will come to a brick-and-mortar church, connect in community, hear the teaching of God's word from someone who, you know, sort of been to school to do it, and be around other believers to connect in ministry and purpose and missions. Only a third. So even culture is downgrading that. So parents, the struggle is real. Amen. I get it. It is getting harder. Parenting has been regulated to insignificant now when kids can divorce their parents. And when there's a conflict in the home, all the kid has to do is pick up the phone and call HRS. They're going to come and arrest you when you were trying to protect the kid from their self. Right. But they're coming after you, parents. because you are simply trying to protect the kid from themselves. How many of you know children need to be protected from themselves? And all the kids look at me going, that guy's old. And you're right, I am. But I've just bumped my head on the wall enough, and I've made enough mistakes, and I have a record to prove it, that you know what? Your parents know better than you do. Listen to them and honor them. Now, I love you, and I know they're not perfect because I'm not perfect, but listen to them. But parenting used to be really upheld by the culture and by the church, and parents used to be celebrated. Then next, you have to have close friends and a community to help you. It used to be that we looked out for one another, and nobody got offended. I can remember I lived in a community, in a neighborhood, and if I was four streets over and was doing something dumb, go figure, you know, I could give you a list of all those, but I've already outed myself once, so I'm not doing it again. But there were a list of things we would do when we were three or four streets away from home. You know what would happen? Hey, somebody would see me. They would pick up the phone and say, Miss Wright, I see Terry over here, and he's throwing rocks at the streetlights again. So by the time I got home, Mom was ready. Dad was ready. They were loaded. Throwing rocks at the streetlight, huh? Who told you that? Doesn't matter who told me that. Were you throwing lights, rocks at the streetlight? Yes, I was. Good. Go to the bedroom. And then, spare not the rod. Amen. But you know what's interesting now? And I don't know why this is true. Now, if someone picks up the phone and calls a parent and says, hey, I saw your son or daughter, blah, blah, doing this and this, the parent on the other end is like, that's none of your business and that's not my kid. And they get offended. And you break a relationship. And they don't want to hear it because something crazy has happened between 50 years ago and today. Kids are now born sinless. Did you know? They're born sinless. Guys, it used to be that communities were filled with people who at least had some emotional health and balance and could sort out the truth from nosiness and wasn't so easily offended. It used to be that we had an emotional quotient high enough that we could handle that. But now we're offended at everything. Your kid should have caught that pass. How dare you say that about my kid? If your son, the quarterback, could have thrown it right, he could have caught it right. And there's a fight, and now dads hate each other. My son was kicker on the football team for a few years. I wanted somebody to say something about his kicking. Just say something about his kicking. He should have made that 67-yarder. Nobody in the pros kick a 67-yarder. We used to have close friends and community. There are children being raised today in the urban areas and suburban areas that don't understand what I'm about to say, but some of you do. You used to remember homes when they were built had huge sprawling front porches. And they had, this is a crazy thing, they had chairs on the front porch. And they had an open walkway on the front porch. And if you passed by and it was approaching evening, it was really okay to walk up the steps and sit on the front porch and have a glass of tea. That was just okay. And now we have, this house is protected by an alarm system, the dog does bite, the owner shoots a gun well, and we build our porches on the back of our house. And most of the times we don't even know who our neighbors are. Now here's what's interesting. That might be comfortable for the time, and I'm not knocking it if it is. But the unintended consequence is real. Our children, parents, are not being raised in a community. Now, let me tell you what we know why that's true. Why that's true is because the world's become a dangerous place. Every other street, there's a convicted child abuser of some type. There are people who have done horrible things to women and children, and we have to protect them. So I understand, parents, the struggle is real. It used to be where you had close friends and community, but now you don't. Then finally, the school. The school used to support parents. And parents used to be connected to the schools. Teachers would teach respect. They would teach industry. Anybody ever heard that word? Some through school never heard that word, industry. Those of us who are over the age of 50 remember when education used to teach industry. Industry means work. It means work. It means hard work. It means being responsible to work. School, no joke. I know some of y'all are like, wow, they talked about work in school? Yeah, they used to. They used to say it was your job as a citizen of this country to work, to be involved in industry. And it was good for your soul. It was good for your spirit. It was good for the community. It made you know you were free when you worked. You used to teach God and country and respect. But now sadly it doesn't, and I don't have time to get into all the reasons. But the struggle is real, parents, and I get it. The struggle is real to raise our kids when the basic way we used to form children now can't happen because our culture is dissolving and spiraling apart. But let me add to it another factor that is unbelievably devastating, unintentionally, but devastating to our kids. And I'm not about to say this because I'm old, so nobody thinks he's saying this because he's old and he still has an iPhone 4. So do not, even though it's true, don't say it. Technology. Technology is something that in its basic form is phenomenal. It has caused some unbelievable advancements. You can build businesses. You can grow companies. You can connect with people you've lost contact with for years. I am all for every aspect of social media and technology, except when it replaces parenting. So let's talk a little bit about that. The average student today, the average kid today will watch 7.5 hours of entertainment technology a day. That's entertainment technology. Right now, somewhere in this room, there are kids on their iPhone because they don't want to listen. I get it. This is probably the best sermon I ever preached, so I'm with you. All right? But you're logging into PewDiePie, seeing what he's doing. Well, it's night over there in Europe, so he's probably sleeping. All right? That's what he's doing. PewDiePie, you don't know PewDiePie? Here's a cat. Here's a great thing about technology. Check this cat. His screen name is PewDiePie. Should say something. Right? All right? So PewDiePie sets up these GoPros around his house, and he plays video games, and he comments on video games. Now, your parents are looking at me like, you can't get paid for that. $20 million last year. $20 million for playing video games. I can't do it. I can't turn a computer on like that, so I can't do it. $20 million for sitting there going, oh, I should have shot the guy on the roof. Oh, he threw a grenade at me. He's making $20 million doing that. The unintended consequence of technology, again, I'm for it. I like it. I use it. We're on it. We're going to be connecting with it. If you were here the other day, last Sunday, we talked about some of the things churches are going to be doing to connect with technology. We're all for it. But we're not for it when it negatively impacts kids and when it replaces parents. We're not for it when it does that. So here's the next thing. Because of all this exposure to technology, check this out. Obesity in children is now epidemic. ADD and ADHD has now been validated and proven, and the fact that kids connect mainly on media or technology, it increases that. Coordination disorders have happened. Coordination disorders. Kids can't walk. They can't run. They can't coordinate. There are kids now getting out that cannot run and chew gum at the same time. And this is true because they spend too much time on technology and not enough time in the world. Anxiety, depression, sleep disorders are on the rise. There is now a condition that they're tying directly to more than 7.5 hours a day in technology is an unintelligible speech complication. They're now saying that there are kids who cannot communicate intelligibly because of technology, because of their exposure to technology, not because technology is real, but because of their exposure to technology. There are children now being raised that cannot communicate because of technology. Now, parents, here's what I know. It is everywhere they turn. It is their world. It is how they connect. It is how they're going to get hired. It is how many of them are going to work. And you're sitting there with the struggle on how to keep the balance. The struggle is real, and I'm with you. There's now a basic requirement for children. Most of us were raised with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Food, clothing, shelter, and it goes on up the line, right? You remember that. Not anymore. Because of the advent and now the proliferation of technology, here's the new base model of what children need to be healthy. First, they need to learn how to move. Did you hear what I just said? Psychologists now and children psychologists now have said children don't know how to move properly. Children now are being raised that don't know how to run. They can walk, but they don't know how to run. You do know that's a different skill, right? Walking to running is a different skill. They don't know how to run because they're not outside running. They have to be taught to move. They have coordination problems. This is why a lot of younger drivers are really bad, because they don't have the coordination, because they've never done things that require dexterity. They don't throw a ball. That teaches other motor skills. Catching a ball teaches other motor skills. Playing golf teaches different motor skills. All of those things teach you how to move. Tumbling, jumping, doing all those things outside help your children develop. They must be forced to move. But they don't like to move. It's not a democracy. They need to learn to move. Folks, you are crippling your children if you don't help them move. Be creative. Make it fun. But get them moving, a base need. Second, touch. There are children who have never touched anything rough, prickly, pointy, nasty in their life. The only thing they've touched is smooth objects with buttons. I'm not joking. They're saying now, because of the lack of tactile sensation in children, that they are not developing right. They need to feel a stick. They need to feel dirt. They need to feel mud. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, you're going to come clean them up. Be glad to. Cleaned up mine. They need to feel a sticker, but that hurts. Exactly. They need to sleep on the ground. Oh, now that's just cruel. They need to... I'm going to get in trouble. But the next sort of adds on to that, nature. They're saying now one of the base needs of children, because of the advent of technology and keeping kids alive, they have no concept about nature. Kids need to fish. They need to hunt. They need to be in scouts. They need to do something where they're in nature, even if they don't like it. My son Parker was in scouts for a few years. He was at First Service Days with a friend now, but he was in scouts for a few years, and he learned a vital lesson. Would have never learned it had he not been in scouts. When sleeping outside, do not have open food in your backpack. Because he woke up the next day and his backpack was gone. They found it 3 days later in a tree. Of course, you know how it got there. A raccoon stole it. It took it up the tree. That was a vital lesson for him to learn. When I went down to see him, was having lunch with him, he said, "Dad, a raccoon stole my backpack." I said, not gonna leave open food in there again, are you?" "No." Kids today, because of technology, have separated themselves from nature. They need to catch a fish. They need to know how to stick their hands in the mouth of the fish and get the hook out without impaling themselves. And if they impale themselves, guess what? The hook comes out just like it went in. Usually if it's not barbed, but that's a different story. They need to get bit by mosquitoes. They need to step in an anthill. You know why? Because they'll learn to put on repellent and they'll learn to watch where they walk. I'm not saying this. This is what social science is saying. Parenting is hard. The struggle is real. Parents, you are up against an entire shift in culture that says to your children, stay inside, do nothing, stay in front of the tube, stay in front of the computer screen, stay in front of the game system, and you can make a living and you can survive. But here's some things that are rough. And I'll close by sharing with you this scripture that I hope is an encouragement to you, because the struggle is real. Proverbs 22:6 says this: "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen. Let me talk to you about that verse for just a minute, and we'll be done. Train up a child in the way that they should go. For years, preachers, I think, unintentionally taught that there was one model, one box, one mold that every child was supposed to fit into. and one discipline structure, one set of rules, one way of dealing with it, and every kid was to get in this box. If every kid didn't fit in this box, the ones outside of it are a sinner and they're wrong. But when you read this verse and understand it, this idea to train up a child in the way that they should go denotes something really cool. It denotes that every child has their way. There's a uniqueness to every person that's born. The Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, that guy, wrote in the book of Galatians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Now, that word workmanship is a cool Greek word called poiema, and it means masterpiece. So Paul picks up on this idea in the New Testament and says, every child entrusted to you is a masterpiece. They are uniquely created. They are not a photocopy. They are unique creation, formed and framed together specifically and specially. And they have their natural bent. Everyone in this room who has more than one child or more than one grandchild, if you've seen multiple children at some point in your family, or in somebody else's family, here's what you know. No two are alike. Can I get at least an amen on that? They're not alike. They can have the same genetic coding, the same home, the same economic advantages, and they're all going to come out different. We have three, and I'm telling you, they couldn't be more different than if we planned it. Because every child is unique. The church, and I have to apologize for this, for so many years tried to lump and clump everybody into the same box. And that's just never been God's way. The Jewish folk, believers back before Jesus, understood that. That every child was unique and special. Over in Psalms, it talks about an arrow that is shot from a bow. And as you know, they would handcraft those arrows. And every arrow had a little bit different drift to it. Because they were uniquely and specially created. They weren't mass produced. So here's the struggle, parents. And the struggle is real. You have multiple children in your home, or even one. To raise that person, that little person, understanding their gifts, their abilities, their personality, their desires, what they can and can't achieve, discovering that, and then guiding them into that, and loving them through all the lefts and right turns, is a difficult journey. Train up a child in the way that they should go. The worst thing you can do, parents, if you're a young parent or you're doing this again, is to compare one child to another. Don't do it. Amen. Fight the feeling. Because I'm going to tell you, they are all unique creations of God, and they have definite purpose, definite direction, and God has a definite vision for all of them. They're all uniquely different, and they're special. When Scripture says to train up a child, it does use the word train. That means there should be guidelines. Kids need guardrails. Amen. You know what guardrails are for? Drive in the mountains, right? When you drive in the mountains and you depend on the guardrails, those guardrails are there and you learn to trust them, because why are they there? They're there to keep you safe. So you stay as far away from the guardrail as you can. You don't hug it. Well, I do sometimes and I get in trouble. But you try to stay a little bit away from the guardrails, because those guardrails are there to keep you safe. Parents, your children need boundaries. They need guardrails, not because you're mean, not because you're an ogre, not because you're out of date, not because the preacher's old and he told you to do it, right? Not because of any of those reasons. It's because kids don't know what you know. Kids don't have the wisdom you have. My kid's pretty smart. I don't doubt that. But I hope if you're 40 and they're 12, you've got a little bit more wisdom on them. I don't want to be offensive, just being honest. Right? So I hope you got a few steps on them there. Right? So when you train, there's got to be guardrails. There's got to be these parameters set up so they know where to go. Training also means sometimes there are consequences to getting beyond those guardrails, and they have to face those consequences. One of the hardest things that I've had to do as a parent is watch my kids struggle when I could go and rescue them from the struggle. It's one of the hardest things I've been able to do. But how many of you know that the struggle is real, but growth comes through the struggle? When you're, those of you who have little ones or are having little ones, we have several to-be mamas in here. When those little ones start to walk, they're going to fall and bust it. Bam! How many of y'all know that's true? And then immediately you're going to hear them scream like the world has come to an end. Y'all remember that? If they don't fall, they can't walk. They can't. If you don't let them fall, they'll never learn to walk. And then when it comes to running, they're going to fall, and they're going to bust their mouth, their ears, you're going to get stitches, you're going to take them to the doctor, and the doctor has never stitched a baby in their life because now it's yours. Right? And the doctor's going to have to stitch that baby. Well, if they weren't running in the house, kids run in the house. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this. When I came home one day, this was back years ago when my kids were into skateboarding, and I saw a skateboard sticking out of our wall at the end of the hall. Pretty sure I didn't put it there. Pretty sure it wasn't built there. So not only will they run in your house, they will skateboard down your hall. And they will shoot them straight through the wall. Pulled it out and got the wall fixed. That's what you do. And then pound the one who did it. Just kidding. Don't call HRS. Do not call HRS. Train sometimes means they have to face the consequences of their choices. And facing those consequences are hard. And it's going to be hard on you. Why? Because you're a loving, kind person. And you don't want to see your children suffer. But here's what you know that they don't. Scripture says in Proverbs that in the immediate time, discipline seems to be painful. But in the long term, it brings peace. Amen. Allowing them to struggle in the short term means in the long term they got peace. Jim Dobson said this, your kids can forgive you of anything in the world except for the lack of discipline, because they will struggle with that for the rest of their lives. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'll close with this. We're all adults in here, and here at Grace, if you're a guest, thank you for coming. We're so glad you're here. You need to know a couple things about here. We're very honest, and we're very non-judgmental. Non-judgmental. We're high grace people here, but we're also very honest. Your child is going to go through some situations in life that are going to be embarrassing to you. They're going to be embarrassing to them, and they're going to be bad. They're going to make those choices, and they're going to make those left and right turns. But I want to encourage you to remember that their days are not over yet. Their journey might look different from yours, but at the end of the day, God's word is true. If you've loved them in the way they've needed love, if you've empowered them to pursue the careers and the choices that are natural to them, if you've spoken honesty and truth into their life, at the end of the day, they will come back to what you taught them. They will come back to the God of the Bible and the God of Scripture. They will. I spent my summers in North Alabama. That's where my roots are. And it was out in the country. Now, y'all who've ever been to the country, you're going to relate to this. My grandmother's house was up on a hill. Now, in North Alabama, those valleys down there, they called hollers. Y'all know that word holler, right? Okay, they call them hollers, right? You have hills and hollers. And so those valleys, those hills down there, and her house sat up on a hill, and we would go out and play because that's what happened at my house. You know, you had breakfast, go, don't want to see you till lunch, right? Boom, had lunch, go, don't want to see you till it gets dark. Y'all remember being raised like that? Okay, you go to jail for that today, but just FYI. But back then, it made us pretty resilient, and we created good imagination, and we got tough, and we learned a lot of cool things. So we would go out and play in the hollers. We'd go out and play in the hollers. And when it would get dark, my grandmother would always leave the porch light on. And if we got too far away from the house, we learned we could do something. We could climb a tree to the top, and we could look, and we could always find grandmama's light on in the back porch. We always find that. I was the youngest, so I was designated the climber. When you're the youngest of the brothers and the cousins, you get all the good jobs, right? Right? So Terry climbed the tree. So I would climb the tree, and you could always find the light at grandmama's house. And then I would yell down, okay, we need to go this way, follow up the stream, then we need to take a left. And we would navigate ourselves back to safety because my grandmother left the porch light on. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And then when they're old, they will not depart from it. Right. Parents, leave the porch light on. Did you hear what I said? Amen. Leave the porch light on. But they make me so mad. Well, you probably made your parents mad. They've made so many horrible choices. You probably made them too. Leave the porch light on. Help them find their way back. And we do that through grace. God loves you today. He cares about you more than you know. The struggle is real, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever you are that has custody of a child. The struggle is real. And God loves you. And he wants to walk with you. Amen. And he wants to help you. Amen?
Amen. Amen?
Pray with me, please. Well, Father, thank you for this time today in your word. Lord, we've spent a lot of time talking about this issue today. And we've done so, Lord, because it is so important. Father, training a child is hard, particularly in a culture and a world that seems to be dedicated to the destruction of parental authority and structure of the family, and the decency of childhood is being robbed. Father, may we as a church stand graciously and kindly with all those who struggle through the parenting process. Help us, Father. Holy Spirit, empower us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Ushers, if you could come forward at this time, please, for our morning tithes and offerings. As they're coming forward, we give here at Grace for three reasons. And there's only three reasons. One is because Jesus is the most important person in the world. Amen? The gospel's the most important message. And third, where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. There is no doubt. Your heart follows your treasure. And here's our thing. If you don't believe me, go sink your boat and see if your heart doesn't sink right there with that boat. Right? Your heart follows your treasure. So we ask you to put your treasure into the work of the kingdom. Father, be with us now as we collect our tithes and offerings. Lord, may we generously and cheerfully give. Lord, we are twisting no one's arm today, because that is no advantage to anyone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please don't forget also, give us this card right here if you have it. If not, you can put it in the boxes. Ryan.
Hey, just some quick announcements for you parents of teenagers. Out on the back in the foyer area, you'll find some bright colored pieces of paper. Please make sure you stop to get those. The blue one is our summer calendar. That's everything we're doing this summer. The yellow one is what we're calling our Serve Venture. That's our summer camp experience. It's got all the information, payment schedules, all that stuff on it, and registration form at the bottom. The green one is our Disciple Now weekend. This is our kickoff weekend. So this is June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The Serve Venture, which is our camp, is August the 3rd through the 6th. So please, parents, make sure that you pick those up. We do have dinner this Wednesday night. We're having chili cheese hot dogs. So come and join us as we kind of wrap up our school year and we get ready for the summer. We've only got a couple more Wednesday nights before we hit our summer schedule. And what does that mean? That means teenagers keep going, because summertime is when we kind of kick it up a little bit more in our student ministry. But we'll take time off for our little kids, elementary age school kids. We'll kind of take a break. I think the adults will still be doing some kind of Bible study in the summertime. But we do take a break for our children's ministry during the summertime. But we've got a couple more Wednesday nights. Please look forward to joining us. Also, this coming Saturday, happening here at 7 o'clock, is the Awaken Community Worship time. That did not make it in the bulletin. We just happened to miss one this week. So that's happening here Saturday night next week. It is a community worship event that's amazing. It's gone from church to church. They do that about every couple of months. But we are hosting it here at Grace next Saturday. We'd love for you to come and join us. Carson's going to be helping to lead worship that night. And the band is made up of people from different churches. So it's a great opportunity. Pastor Terry's going to come and bring a little word. You can skip out on that if you want to. Or
you've probably already heard it. So.
Or you could come on Saturday and then skip Sunday. No, wait, don't do that. Because Sunday is Senior Recognition Day. So seniors, please make sure that you've given me your little bios, 2 to 3 sentences. We're going to get that, put it in the bulletin this week. Please make sure that you've gotten those to me, or getting those to me, or whatever the English word is. That's why I teach math. Make sure that I have those in my hands. Seniors will recognize you next Sunday in both the 9:20 and the 10:30 service. Wear your cap and gown. We've got fun stuff for you. We just want to kind of show you off a little bit and let our church get to know you and pray for you. But make sure that you're here. And then there's a lunch afterwards catered by Sunny's. Only for seniors and their families. Okay? So, or senior citizens.
Yeah, again, let me emphasize that. If you have a senior, that please see Ryan just to make sure we have them on the list.
Yes.
We have a lot of seniors this year, so we don't want to miss yours. So please let us know.
24 so far.
Right.
So
right.
That's
hey,
awesome.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
Awesome. 24 seniors, that's so great.
Awesome.
Thank you. couple things real quick. One, our church grows because of you. All of our eggs for church impact is in your basket. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Invest and invite every week in someone. Spend a little time with someone, invest in their life, and invite them to come with you to Grace. Remember, we have two services. Just to remind you, we do have a service at 9:20. Some of you have taken advantage of that. As summer comes and your schedule gets busier, know that if you've got a beach trip or a fishing trip planned or whatever, and all that's good stuff, we encourage all that. Know that we have a 9:20 service that you can hit before you head out. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that too. Don't forget that at all. Also want to remind you, every first Sunday here at Grace, we have communion. Let me tell you how important that is to you. Communion is the only instituted sacrament that the church has that Scripture says if you enter into it wrong, there can be immediate bad implications on your life. So I want to, it's so spiritually vital for you to come and connect to communion. So every first Sunday, we have communion. Every first Sunday. Doesn't matter what's gone on the Sunday before. Every first Sunday we have communion here. Want to remind you that as summer comes, that you come and connect on those first Sundays for sure. Hey, we love you. God bless you. We're so glad that you're here. We pray you have a wonderful day. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Parents, you are loved today. Moms, you are loved today. Know that. You have the hardest job in America, man, and we are praying for you, and we want to walk with you. Let's pray. Well, Father, we love you, and we thank you today. Lord, I pray for every parent in this room that you would give them grace and patience and wisdom and understanding. Father, help us to rise above our own brokenness, to raise our children well and with balance and with spiritual purpose and direction. Father, we live in a world that's spiraling away from you. Of course, you know that. So, Lord, we just want to stop that spiral here. And rather than kids falling away from you, we want to point them towards you. Because what we know is true, and that is this: loving you and loving others is the best way to live life. Father, they're not taught that in the world. They're only taught that in the church. Help us teach that through the gospel every single week here. Now, Father, I pray you be with these sheep of your fold. Bless each and every one of them. Father, extend your grace, mercy, and kindness to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you next time.